A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered the village of the Samaritans to make ready for Jesus, but the Samaritans did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another, Jesus said, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at my home." And Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Today I'd like to just focus my few comments on that first part of the gospel where it says that Jesus was going towards Jerusalem for the very last time, and that he sent messengers ahead of him, and on their way they entered a village of Samaritans to make ready for Jesus, but the Samaritans did not receive them because his face was set towards Jerusalem. So that's what I want to focus on today a little bit. And in biblical times, it was considered a sacred duty to welcome a traveler, to show hospitality to a traveler, to a stranger. And so not to show hospitality to Jesus and his disciples would have been considered a huge insult, a huge offense in biblical times. But there's a hint here of something more. Scripture says the Samaritans did not welcome Jesus and show him hospitality precisely for the reason that he was heading towards Jerusalem. Now, why would that be a reason for refusing someone hospitality? Well, by the time of Jesus, there was a lot of bad blood between the Jews and Samaritans. It was actually a family conflict, a family rivalry. And to understand that a little bit better, I'll just digress for just a 30-second history lesson. Around the year 1000, King David succeeded in uniting the 12 tribes of Israel into one kingdom, one monarchy. David's son Solomon also ruled as king over the 12 tribes of Israel. But then Solomon's son, Rehoboam, he turned out to be a bad king. And because of harsh policies he enacted, Israel split in two. The 10 northern tribes of Israel formed the northern kingdom, and the two tribes of the south formed the southern kingdom, and each had their own king. So the country was now divided in two. And then slowly over time, the northern kingdom, the tribes in the northern kingdom, they drifted more and more away from their Jewish heritage. They began worshiping false gods of their pagan neighbors. And God sent them many prophets to warn them to turn away from these false gods, prophets like Elijah and Elisha. But the people in the northern kingdom and the kings in the northern kingdom did not listen. And then in 726 AD, Assyria, which was a world power at the time, they invaded and conquered the northern tribes of Israel. And part of the conquest, what Assyria did was they deported thousands of northern Jews to Babylonia to absorb them into their culture. And then Assyrians settled many of their people into the northern kingdom. And so the Assyrians began to intermarry with the northern Jews. They taught the northern Jews their culture and traditions and brought the worship of many more false gods with them into the northern kingdom. And so the northern part of that kingdom of Israel became known as Samaria. That was Samaria, the northern part of Israel. Now the southern part of Israel was not conquered. The southern part did not intermarry with pagan peoples. And the southern part did not accept the worship of false gods. They stayed true to their faith and true to their Jewish heritage. And so the southern part of the kingdom, they looked with horror upon the Samaritans, or the northern part of Israel. And the northern part had compromised their faith, compromised their Jewish heritage, intermarried with non-believers, and were worshiping pagan gods. And so the southern Jews wanted to have nothing to do with them. And in fact, by the time of Jesus, no self-respecting Jew would travel through Samaria. If a Jew had to travel north, they would normally travel around Samaria and not even step foot inside Samaria. And if for some reason a Jew had to go into Samaria, the Torah said that when they left Samaria, they had to shake the dust off their feet and off their sandals. And so this animosity between the Jews and Samaritans went on for centuries, and it was quite hostile at the time of Christ. So when the Samaritans refused to welcome Jesus, refused to offer hospitality to Jesus and his disciples, I think we can better understand why James and John responded by saying, "Lord, should we call down fire from heaven to destroy them?" I mean, there was all this bad blood between them, and probably they were tired and hungry and thirsty, and they were just fed up with the Samaritans for not welcoming them. But now, that's sort of the background, but this whole thing begs the question, why was Jesus traveling through Samaria in the first place? He could have easily taken another route that would have avoided Samaria altogether. Why did he choose to go through Samaria when he didn't have to, and the vast majority of Jews would not even think of doing that? Well, Jesus, it seems, was extending a hand of friendship to people who were enemies. He was reaching out to let them know that they were being welcomed by him, that there was a place in his heart for them. Now, at this moment in time, the Samaritans probably had no idea that he was the Messiah and the Son of God. But after Jesus' death and resurrection, the Samaritans would eventually learn who Jesus really was. Then they would hear stories of how Jesus had traveled to visit them, how he extended a hand of friendship to them, how he cared for them, how he reached out to them, and then their hearts would soften and they would be more open to being reconciled with God. Now, how does all this apply to us here and now 2,000 years later in this more technologically sophisticated North America? Well, I think we can maybe ask ourselves a few questions, and based on this this gospel, and would be, for example, are there people in our families or among our friends with whom we are feuding or estranged? If so, have we tried to be reconciled and made every effort to be at peace with them? Have we extended a hand of friendship to them and let them know we care about them? And if our efforts have been rebuffed, as the Jesus's were at the time, then like Jesus, are we willing to forgive them, pray for them, and sacrifice for them? And how about our neighborhoods? Do we welcome and extend a hand of friendship to new people who have maybe moved into our neighborhood or on our street and who maybe don't know anyone? And what about our parish? When was the last time we smiled and said hello to someone we did not know in our parish? Have we ever introduced ourselves to someone at church we didn't know and tried to bring some goodness, some friendship, some joy into the life of someone who's a stranger to us, but who we see at church week after week? I know that this may be a new idea for some, and for some people it may be kind of intimidating to approach someone we don't know and just smile and say, "Hi, I don't think we've met before. My name is, have you attended this parish for a long time?" And just see what happens from there. I know that can be intimidating and out of our comfort zone. I know that really well because when I was growing up, very shy. And I struggled a lot when I was younger with self-esteem. And so I hated being in groups or in parties where I didn't know people. In class, I would never speak up and raise my hand and ask a question. I would wait until class was over, and then I would approach the teacher on a one-to-one. If it was a choice between a class presentation or an essay, I always, always chose the essay. And in fact, when I was ordained and started preaching, that was really hard. I remember for the first few months when I had to preach, I felt like I had a butterfly this big in my stomach every time. I'd be sweating, I'd be nervous, and I remember really distinctly on one occasion, my knees were shaking behind the amble, and I remember thinking, I hope my alb's not fluttering. But what really helped me was a spiritual director in the seminary who simply gave me a really good, simple piece of advice. He said, just try saying one sentence in class when you go to class. And in a group of people you don't know, just offer one thought, just one. And if you've done that, consider that a success. And then you'll find that as you do that, then one becomes two, and then two becomes three, and you just naturally grow. And so that really did begin the process of consciously and intentionally reaching out to others I didn't know. It was a little scary at first, and it's always a little risky, and sometimes people don't like us, or they do reject us. But other times, it works, and we end up meeting new and interesting people. Sometimes making long-lasting friendships. We've brightened up someone else's day, and we end up feeling better about ourselves. And sometimes a simple act of kindness or friendliness can have a huge impact on someone else, and we don't even know it. You may have heard of this magazine called Psychology Today. It's been around for decades, but some time ago it quoted a letter by Dr. Robert Healy. And in the letter, he told about a young man who had entered his therapy practice after dangerously coming close to committing suicide. The young man told Dr. Healy that he had been driving towards a high bridge with the intention of parking and then leaping off the bridge to his death. And on the way, he stopped for a traffic light. He was stopped at a red light. And on the curb was an elderly lady who, with the green light, started moving across the intersection. And when she got right in front of the car, she paused, looked up at him, turned, and gave him the most beautiful smile he had ever seen. And then the light changed, and the young man continued on his way. But that lady's beautiful smile stuck in his mind. He couldn't get rid of it. It haunted him. And by the time he got to the bridge, he had a complete change of heart, and he did not go through with his plan. And he told Dr. Healy he had no idea who that woman was, but he owed his life to her smile and her reaching out to him with just a simple smile. And so today in the gospel, we read how Jesus deliberately went into unknown and possibly hostile territory. He went to the Samaritans, in order to extend a hand of friendship to them, to let them know he cares, let them know that they are welcomed in his heart, and let them know that there is a place for him, for them. And the scriptures tell us that everything Jesus said and did is supposed to be an example for us, an example that we are to try to imitate in our lives. So today might be a really good day to reflect on these questions. As I mentioned before, is there anyone in my family I'm estranged with, and how can I reach out to them, just as Jesus reached out to the Samaritans? Is there anyone in my neighborhood or at work who is new? If so, how can I reach out to them and make them feel welcome? And am I willing to take a risk and make conscious, intentional effort to smile and greet someone and say hello and introduce myself to someone that I see at church week after week, but I don't know yet. You know, we've been talking about the need for our parish to become an evangelizing parish, that evangelizing is just a part of our call, our DNA as Catholics. And that's true. But evangelization can only be done with people that we have established a relationship with. And so the first step before evangelizing is simply being able to reach out to others with warmth and friendliness to people we don't know, and do it in an authentic and genuine way. And then once a sort of friendship or relationship is established, then later on, at some point, it becomes natural to share our faith in Christ with them. And in this way, we begin to become evangelizers. We are letting our light shine before others, and in the process, we ourselves grow and are richly blessed by God.